Turn with me to John 1. John 1. We finished up the ninth chapter of the book of John, and I had to go to my other Bible because years ago in my house we had a black male cat. And one night on Wednesday night, I don't know why the cat did it, but as he got up in my lap and he looked at that sheet in my old Bible, and he brought them claws down across it, and I didn't have half of chapter 10, and I didn't have but half of chapter 11. And chapter 11 is with Lazarus and his resurrection, because what these Pharisees were told in chapter 10, they didn't believe. Just like they didn't believe in part of chapter 9 when they were questioning the blind man that had his sight back, because that was the first time that was ever known to happen for a born blind individual to get sight back at a ripe old age of more than 30 years, because they said in 9, ask him, he was of age. And he first told them that they wanted to know who done it. And it was first told, he told them that it was a prophet. And then whenever they got together, they figured it out. All of them figured it out that it was Jesus. And they questioned him about that. His mom and dad too. And his mom and dad said, ask him. He's of age. And so that wound up that they were going to take up stones to stone him. And that didn't work out because he went through them and left. They couldn't stop him. Didn't stop him. And so here we are, and he's somewhere else down below Jerusalem, and he's teaching again. And so he's now giving them a parable. It's called a parable in some places, and it's called parable in others. And they call it a wayside story. Talking to somebody that travels a lot, they got stories that they've heard. This is the way that goes. So here we go. Now you may or you may not believe what I've come up with, but give it some consideration because it is in Holy Writ. And so we're going to get to verse 1 in John 10. And this is the extension of the sixth sign that we were doing in John 9. So this is a little further extension here because it's the same part of the same group, evidently it's following him around, but I don't know why they don't have the ability to take him in, but he wasn't supposed to die by stoning. And one of the ones that does the prophesying said that you got it? You still got it? And the Passover was coming. And so after the 43 days, counting being in the grave 3 days, and the 40 days he was with them, because that's another period of them, how they reconcile their travels and their going, 40 is the generally the number of the things for that kind of thing. And, they give him 7 days when he went back up, to go up to the Mount of Olives and go back up into heaven, he told them to stay there till the Comforter come. Because he had already come and done the work that he came to do for that. And so, we haven't heard from Jesus since. I mean, not other than just what scripture tells us as far as that. I mean, he hasn't said anything by writ that we've got down from here until, because Paul did the rest of it. And then after the clock was unplugged in Acts 28:28, that was still, Paul was still loose for a little while. And so they dealt with that. So let's get to chapter 10 and look at verse 1. And it says this, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbed up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, sometimes it makes you scratch your head a little bit and say, what's he talking about here in this parable? Because this is a parable about the shepherd and the sheep. So he said, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door. Now, these places where they kept the sheep under control were pens that had fairly high walls because they had to fix it to where if there wasn't somebody there with them, that somebody couldn't climb the fence and get in. And the same thing with the entrance there. And the entrance had a gate there that we would look at it as being a catch pen. Because these sheep had to be, sometimes taken out one at a time and treated or to do something with or to be sheared. And these sheep are really intelligent. And I say intelligent because this is intuitive to them. It's what God has given them. Because they don't have a mechanism of taking care of themselves. They have to rely on something or somebody. And so if somebody come in, they might get one or two of them sheep into that coat, they call it, C-O-T-E, coat, and get them out. But it wouldn't be the people that we're dealing with here, because this was King David's family, their sheep. And, this is what he's using for that description. And they wouldn't come to some strange voice. But now, if the sheep was mixed with other sheep, some of the other sheep might come. And it might mess up their way of doing things because these sheep are like a family. And they've been raised like a family. And the other five people that were shepherds along with David, they were family and the sheep knowed them because they took turns about as they grew up. The kids did as they grew up and took care of the sheep. The sheep had to understand the dealings with the other family or the rest of the family. And it says so in I guess second or third verse. But, if the sheep don't know the voice of the one that is doing that, they don't have much to do with it, because that's part of their instinctiveness not to do these things. And so here we are. And so he said, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is the same as a thief or a robber. So when he opens the door to go into this place where they hold the sheep when they're not in the pasture, and that gives the shepherds a little time off too. They're in there. And when the shepherd opens the big door and goes in, the sheep go in according to their pecking order, I call it. Is the order of which they were born. And probably the old sheep, they ram the old male sheep probably first. And then the ewes or the mama sheep would follow in order. And they probably, they may be more than one ram go in, but they're named, and they've named them. And it's kind of like us having pets at home, and we name our pets. I called mine Dolly, this last one I had, and she was 11 years old, and she died. But Dolly, she knew where she could go. She knew she couldn't get in the road. She wasn't supposed to get in the road. And she knew a lot of stuff because she had this intuitive aspect too. And she knew I took care of her. And, but she was Bobby Ann's dog, but basically I took care of her, because when Bobby Ann got her, she couldn't walk. Bobby Ann couldn't walk. She had already lost one leg. And so, This is the same kind of thing. So what I'm explaining to you is the fact that this is a family in a family. And there ain't no way I could go out. I told Lori, ain't no way I'd go out and get lamb chops. I never bought any to begin with, but they look awfully good in the meat counter. But I said I couldn't eat one of them now, because it'd be like me eating one of my pets, you know, as looking at how Jesus looked at these animals and how they spent the time with them. And although I know they got rid of some of them, but, from time to time, but, sooner or later they would accumulate more sheep than they could do anything with. And, but I don't know much about that, but we'll have to just take that by ear a little bit. So, it said, I say unto you, he that entereth, and this is connecting the sign with the signification of what's being said here, because this was the sixth sign that Jesus gives to his disciples and to those that were listening to him teach. Okay? And it said, see John 1:51. So I'm going to turn back to John. And sometimes I don't like to do this because I lose a little bit of my concentration, but here's a situation. If I can find John 1, I thought I had it marked, but I'll get there in a minute. Yep. That's with John 1:51. I want to turn the page. That's the reason sometimes I get going with this stuff and I don't mark them out. John 1:51 says this. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So, he was talking about, when he was with Nathaniel, and that was part of the sermon that Larry done when I became a believer. Because when you go and look at, 48 and 49 and 50 of this, it said, Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. So this was the man under the tree, fig tree. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? And he said, thou shalt see greater things than these. And then this was what I read you first, verse 51. And he said, you're going to see greater things than this if you believe me. And so I thought it very necessary that we go back and pick that up, because he said that's talking about entering or entereth. He said, entereth not in by the door. The only way was the true or the right door into the sheepfold. And two there in the Greek is the word EIS, east. And it means, the word not there, not by the door is, that's the wrong way. The true way is when the shepherd goes in first. Then all the sheep follow. They follow, like I said, in pecking order. From the oldest to the youngest. That's what they did with Paul when they were listening to Paul at one time. And Paul was talking to them back over earlier in John, or it might have been in Luke. And they didn't really believe Christ then either, the ones that were there. Didn't believe him, and they started leaving the gathering, and the oldest left first, and then the next oldest was next, the next oldest was next. And I said, well, how did they know this? If they had a group of people and they didn't know them pretty well, how could they know that they went from the oldest to the youngest and they all left? Here, the sheep even knows this. So you see how close the shepherd is to his sheep? That it's a situation that shows up more and more and more in Scripture. And so the fold in the Greek, it is a U-V-E of the sheep. The two symbols being used separately here, the door, when opened by their owner, needed no longer, voice command, but The fold is for singling out sheep, out one at a time, as we would use a herd to single just one at a time through a gate. And that is the difference between a thief or a robber, because if he's going to go and he's going to look for these sheep, they're not going to answer his voice, because they don't know his voice. And so they're going to have to go to the catch pen to get one, if they get one. And those sheep of this family, of David's family, is not, and I'm sure that's what he used is his thing. It was not, all six of them boys that were, sheep herders at one time or other, David being the baby, the last one. And, but them sheep intuitively knew the voice and knew the mannerisms and all the things that was needed for them not to get into trouble, because they did. The only thing they had was the shepherd to guard them. And when they got in to the fold there, they could put other people's sheep in there with them, but only the sheep to the one that had trained them is the only one they're going to answer to. And so this is a family within a family. And I never thought about sheep being a family, but yeah, certainly it was.
It's a sheep pup.
Yeah. And, so if you went in there, they would have to climb up or to climb inside the pen where they get one to stop there if they could get one there. And that would probably not be unless they were involved with some of the sheep of another group. They wouldn't probably get that. It said, but he who entered in by the door is one of many shepherds of the sheep, but they only listen to the one that they know. And if you come there, if somebody else come there, even if they had more than one family of sheep in there, they would move away from them. They wouldn't answer to them either. So, this is how smart they are. And I never come to understand that they had that kind of smarts, but they're intuitive, because the only way they've got to have any hope of staying alive is from the shepherd. Somebody to protect them. And so we get to verse 2. So that's what I had in verse 1. And boy, I tell you, when I started doing these notes, I said, gee whiz, how long is this thing going to be? Verse 2 says this: but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So the sheep would not go in with a stranger, even if the door was open. The shepherd would have to go in first, and then the sheep goes in by pecking order. They go in as they were brought up to do. And they do that, they don't change. Now, the only way they change is if they get rid of some of the sheep and they have to kind of retrain what they've got. But ordinarily, this is Jesus telling them in this parable that people smarter than you think they are. And so this is what we're looking at. But he who that entereth in by the door is the one of many shepherd of the sheep. So any of David's people could come there, having been shepherds before with this same group of sheep or other sheep that come along after that, but they would work off to where they'd give each other spells, because man tending to a sheep was like tending to a bunch of babies. You know what I mean? You had to keep them in train, you know, to do these things. And this is what Jesus is telling these people and these Pharisees, that I'm the shepherd. Okay, verse 3 says this: to him the porter openeth. Well, they have people that watch these sheep when they're enclosed in the pen, and they don't have to have any orders. They know the reason they're in there is for safety, but they've got somebody that opens the door, and he opens it for the shepherd, and the shepherd don't even have to say anything. He walks through, the sheep walks through, that stays in this one particular place. But now, other people's sheep may be in there too, but they don't pay no attention to them, but this to the people that's over them. The porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, not the porter, but the shepherd. If the shepherd says come, they go before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Okay, so that's pretty simple. But yet it's awfully complicated, because here's people dealing with things that can't talk back to them, and yet they follow the directions. Verse 5. It says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. So Jesus is telling these people, I'm the good shepherd. They hear my voice. They won't follow you. But man sometimes will. Because this is Satan's ploy here, to get people to do otherwise other than what God wants to do. This is the gist of the whole story. He said, this parable spake Jesus unto them full stop. So everybody that was there after Jesus left the temple area, and he went down somewhere else, and some of them followed him, but they couldn't stop him. I mean, he could walk right through them, and it wasn't his time to go. I mean, it wasn't his time to be caught. But they had got up stones, you know, to stone him before in the last study, but he wasn't supposed to die by being stoned. So the parable here, let me turn my page over from my notes, because I thought I never would get it all wrote down. I did get it all wrote down. But I can get what I can get today wrote down. Okay. And let's see. In verse 4, and when he directs to put forth his sheep, he goeth before them or in front of them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. and a stranger they will not follow. But flee from him, for they know not his voice of strangers. For, or because they know to know or to learn intuitively, verily from birth, having been taught, and having been taught there is App 132, numeral I, or 1, and verse 1. And we won't go there, but that's just to show you that they're not going to hear his voice. Then from verse 7 to 9, go together in the alternations here. So it said, therefore, or then said Jesus. No. Yeah. Verse 7. Wait a minute. Verse 6. I'm sorry. I've about missed 6. The parable spake Jesus unto them. And that's full stop. And it was deemed a wayside saying. But they understood not, talking about the Pharisees. Did not want to know, or did not get to know. And that's the Greek word gnosko. They just didn't have any desire to hear what he's saying, because they ain't figured out yet what he's talking about. He's talking about sheep and explaining them to them like they were human beings. And they it done lost them. Okay, what things these were, or what it was, or what it meant. This wayside saying here is the word mishal, and it's not or parabole. It's not a parable, and it's not a parabole. Or there's two different words there, because there are three words used in the Bible, and only one in one place. And these Greek words were in two other places here. So it was parabole is used 80 times, but not in John's gospel. That wasn't used in John's gospel, but the wayside saying showed up in the notes. That's the reason I went and had to put it in there, or felt like I needed them to give it, because that's what makes sense. We're trying to realize that, and well, it makes sense to us. Why did it make sense to these guys from the council? Well, they just didn't understand. Couldn't understand, because they had been brainwashed, evidently.
They can't see themselves.
Yeah, then said Jesus, therefore, or then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. So from here out, for the rest of this chapter, the I am comes up lots of times, and he explains that to them after we get down into this thing somewhat. The I am. Because somebody asked some other time in some other place, if I go and say this to this person, what am I to say to them that, who sent me? That was whenever they were figuring out the law and what you could say, in particular from getting on your case about the law. And so the I am sent you, it was the Father and the Son. Unto you, I am the door. I say that I am the door of the sheep and not of the fold, or in the sheep, not of the fold or this fold. Because he's telling them that these sheep here believe what our words is and what we said. But I've got sheep somewhere else that aren't of this fold. So you need to be on the lookout for them too. And I thought that was pretty telling because, you know, he had different groups and he dealt with the different groups in different ways. And this is what I told Elaine today. I said, they was different groups, different people that had different hopes. I said, if you look at 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, I said, if you were, got a vow with your husband and he wasn't a believer and you was, he might get to live because of your faith. And I said, that would be unknown. These people ain't understanding this. How could they understand the rest of it? And she said, oh, I got to read it. Okay, you read it. Verse 8 says, all that ever came before me, and whoever, the word pro there, came before me, at which, read on the notes of verse 8. Okay, let me read on the verse of verse 8. It says, all that ever, or all whoever, before, the great word pro, appendage 104, XIV 14, the true shepherd could not come until God's purpose was right in the fullness of the times, Galatians 4:4. Moses and the prophets were not thieves and robbers. None of them claim to do more than point, as John the Baptist pointed or did, to the coming one, and all others were deceivers. So here is, well, if I point at you, you're it. And so that was the way it was with the sheep. He didn't have to say anything, but if he pointed to that sheep had to understand what it was that he wanted done. Okay. So this family still goes on and they still follow each other. They still do the thing that they need to do to keep themselves safe and each other safe. And this blew my mind. And the further I went, the deeper it got. And the more I had questions about this thing. Verse 9. He said, I am again, verse 9. So that's another time. I am the door, full stop. There should not be a question about when Jesus said, I'm the door. He was actually the entrance to something. And they couldn't get it. They didn't get it. I am, or I represent the door by me. If an a contingency, which would be proven by the result. Any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. These two expressions being the I am used for the life in general and shall find. So the I am's are very important in this chapter because it's going to take Christ a while to explain to these Pharisees what he's getting to because they still ain't got a clue. Verse 10. Thieves and robbers. We're going to deal with that here. And he said in verse 1, if you don't go in by the door, you're a thief or a robber. The thief comes not, but except for to steal. In order that, and the Greek word there is the Greek word henna, H-I-N-A, that he may steal and kill and to destroy full stop. I don't know why they couldn't understand that. And he says, I am come that they may have life. In the Greek, that is the word Zoe. And they that might have it more abundantly or in a great abundance. And so we get down to verse 11 and we're going to add 11 through 18 together. And try to explain to these people what a good shepherd is. He's already told them what it is, but he's going to have to try to make it plain to them that, you know, this is a little deeper than their mind goes. Verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd again. Full stop. Here he is. He's not getting away from that. And he's beating it in their head that I am the good shepherd. Now, they are bad shepherds. They are bad people that could steal or mess with the flock and cause a lot of problems. But he says, I am the good shepherd. Connect this word with death. As he gave his life for the sheep. And Jesus makes that quite clear. That he said, I come to give my life for my sheep. I don't know how hot the water has to be before you stick their feet in it to make them understand that this is what he's doing here. He's putting it out. It says in verse 12, but he that is a hireling or a hired servant and the Greek there is misotos and not the shepherd who own the sheep are not, not seeing the wolf coming. So the wolves evidently are the ones that causes them the most problems in a sheep herd. In the Greek there, I think is the word Oreo. Yeah, unless I misspelled. And that's the view with a fixed gaze, with terror or fascination. That's what a sheep will do. He'll stop. If he's not getting the signals from the shepherd, he's not going to do anything else. He can get froze up with terror because he doesn't get the signs. He knows what to do. Okay. And, he said it in fascination and leaveth, the sheep and fleeting. And the wolf cometh there and scatter the sheep or pluck, pluck them. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. He careth for himself. He careth not for himself or for the sheep. So if they hire somebody other than the porter, other than the guy that probably feeds them, they're not going to get much out of the sheep because they don't know. And so Jesus is saying, okay, I'm the good shepherd. I give them everything they need. I am what they have to protect them and to keep them and to show that they will get their reward, whatever it might be, the food or whatever it is. And so the hireling is not very much good to those sheep that don't hear his voice or know him. And he says again, I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep, or I get to know my sheep. And I am known of mine. That word is still gnosko. He says, without a doubt, there is no doubt. They know me. And they know what I do for them. And they look to me for everything they have or got. He says, as in 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and am known of, or by mine, even so, or also, I know the Father, full stop. And I lay down my life for my sheep. And so he goes on to knock that home every chance that he gets, that he is everything to this family. And that's just like the family that he went to the cross and paid the price for. It's the same type of situation. So the story is, so far that we've got into this story, is the fact that you can only get there by me. And the sheep only hear me. And if you're not one of the sheep, you don't hear my voice. You haven't heard my voice, because no man, after Jesus went back up into heaven, no man has ever heard Jesus' voice since that time. They will hear it, but they haven't heard it yet. Okay. I lay my life down for the sheep. And fellows, other sheep I have. Okay. He goes back to that again. You remember he said, I have other sheep that's not in this fold here. It's in another, some of them are in other places and other places. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold or flock, and that's a place in the open air, as in verse 1, where they take them and leave them for their ability to be taken care of. He says, now also I must bring, and they which hear my voice, and they which be one fold and one shepherd, and the two families can be as one large family, as in sheep. That's in verse 16. I got a little more. I thought maybe I'd have a little left over, but I may not. Okay, therefore, verse 17. What do we say about therefore? You know, we find a lot of therefores in Scripture. And therefore is there for a reason. Because of this. And because of what we have just read, the word there is die, like diameter, where we get the word diameter. And it is out 104, Roman numeral 5, 2. Therefore, love me, because I lay down my life, that I am able, or I might, take it up again. So he says, and this is important, no man, no one, Odys, no being, no man, or devil, none, taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He said, there's nothing here that's going to take my life from me, but I'm going to lay it down for my family.
Okay.
I thought that was great. This command have I received of my Father. So he knows where that come from. And he knows it's true. And he knows that regardless of whatever situation he got himself in, that was going to take precedent. Only when the time come to do it was, it was gonna be. That was gonna be the necessary thing. Verse 19 says, there was, or arose, a division therefore. Here's the therefore again. Among the Jews. And this is the third of three, the note says, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath the devil or a demon and is mad. One of them said, well, why hear ye this man?
Why are you listening to him?
Why hear he him? And others said, can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Surely a demon is not able to do this. And so some believe. Now I didn't put the next verse down, but I'm going to pick up with the next verse in the rest of this study, because there's a good bit in John 10. And all this is being done because he's going to demonstrate it whenever Lazarus dies and he raises him up. Because I couldn't get around this because then I couldn't have the force that I needed in my study to show what he's trying to show here. And well, I've done everything but raise the dead here. And in 3 days, I'm going to raise the dead again.
I would agree. It's definitely a good build up to the miracle of Lazarus.
And so I said, well, I'm going to stop at 21. We'll pick it up next time and go on with there. But now that's where we've gotten to because these people didn't understand. And they said, well, what's he trying to say? What's all this about sheep? What's all this about family? They didn't have a clue. Didn't have a clue. And Jesus kept saying, I am he. I am the one. And the one, I know the one that sent me.
And you would have thought among a bunch of shepherds and simple people that would have been the perfect language to put that forth in.
Well, I think most of them were out of the group of 80.
Oh, I'm sure they were, but they still know what goes on with sheep.
Yeah. They would know instantly what
they know daily life.
Yeah. What that life was. Yeah. But the ones that you know aren't with it.
Yeah.
They ain't with it.
No, they couldn't see it.
And so that's.
Well, it's like we continually said, there's nobody is blind to somebody that won't see.
Yeah, you gotta want to know something in order to get it. And that's hard to tell a young kid sometime in school or maybe even when I got a little older and Mr. Natta had to come around and he said, look, I'm not going to tell you everything you're going to need to know, but when you get out there, make something out of yourself. Because I've given you enough to show you what it takes to be out in the world. And that's what he did for me. When I walked across the stage, I got the paper saying that I had straightened myself out the most of any person in Oconee County in a year's time. And so evidently he understood that I understood that.
You got the message.
So I got the message. And yeah, I got the thing that I made it. I made the most presents in a year's time and anybody in the whole school district here at Oconee County. And I don't really dwell on that much, but I might should. Because I got a bunch of grandkids coming along too.
Yeah.
They're great grandkids. And, but yeah, it's an important part of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Mr. Knight said, I'll never be able to give you all you need to know when you leave here because this is just starting here. This is just starting your trip.
Yeah.
And so with these people, I guess when he come out of the grave and 40 days later, he went back up into heaven. I guess they could see part of that trip if they were still down there at that time.
Yeah.
So God bless.